Have you ever wondered what it's like to witness a murder?
Forrest grabbed the knife and then just stabbed Johnny in one motion.
Or how it feels to be shot?
I was immediately hit by a barrage of bullets.
Or how you would react if your spouse hired someone to kill you?
And he was to put me in a grave with a bullet wound on my head.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a stalking victim.
Came back upstairs, and when I came back and turned the corner into my room, I saw him standing there.
You'll hear from a man who was kidnapped and tortured.
I would do anything, say anything, to simply get away.
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app, or at whatwasthatlike.com.
This podcast contains adult themes and language, and some of the things we discuss may be disturbing to some listeners. In this podcast, we discuss sexual assault, torture, race, and murder. Listener discretion is advised.
Thank you so much for listening. Buiti binafi. Bienvenidos, bitches.
All the
Fruit
things.
Loops, all the things. Fruit Loops is a podcast about true crimes committed by people of color and the victims that we don't hear or know much about. Contrary to popular belief, not all serial killers are straight, cis, able-bodied white dudes.
What?
No! There are many well-documented cases of serial killers of color, and Fruit Loops is a podcast all about them. We will take deep dives into the fascinating lives and crimes of serial killers and true crimes committed by people of color and the victims that the media and entertainment commonly leave out because the news is racist? Get out of here. Just kidding. Allegedly.
And we are Wendy and Beth. She's Wendy, a Black Latinx woman, and I'm Beth, and I just happen to be white.
We forgive her. It's not her fault.
Yeah, sorry about that. We're not journalists, investigators, or psychologists. Just a couple of gals interested in true crime. Also, the opinions expressed in this podcast are just that, our opinions. Please send any questions or comments to fruitloopspod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 602-935-6294. And we may feature it on a future episode.
Also, our website is fruitloopspod.com, and we use Fruit Loops Pod for all our social media. The footnotes for each episode can be found on our website. Plus, check it out for the different ways that you can support the show and become a Fruit Loops patron.
Yeah.
You can also support our show by supporting our sponsors.
Yes, please do that.
So, who are we talking about today, Beth?
Well, we've been on a break, as you all know, and next week we'll resume our regular episodes, and we'll be starting with a doozy, Samuel Little. You guys have been asking for it, and we got it
finally
for you.
Yeah. We got it. Yeah. Got him.
But today we have a special episode. It's an interview with a father whose son has been missing for over a year.
Daniel Robinson was last seen on the morning of June 23rd, 2021, leaving his work site in Buckeye, Arizona. He was driving his 2017 blue-gray Jeep Renegade and is believed to have been headed west, deeper into desert terrain.
On Tuesday, July 19th, 2021, Daniel's vehicle was found by a rancher a little over 2.5 miles from the worksite in a remote part of the desert. On that day, the rancher reported the vehicle to Buckeye Police Department, who later did a search by ground and drone. The vehicle was recovered, but Daniel was not.
Daniel has an innate passion for adventure and is known to travel in opportune moments. However, he always communicated with his family on his travel plans. That day, Daniel was on a job when he went missing and was said to have been last seen by a worker from another company who worked with him at a well. He made plans to be with family before going missing and looked forward to that meeting in July of 2021. Daniel is a scientist that loves nature, loves his family, and expressed plans for his future.
A missing persons report was filed the evening Daniel was last seen, and since then the family has utilized all avenues to get law enforcement's help by asking them to launch an investigation into what happened to Daniel. You can go to the family's website to donate to the cause and or discover other ways that you can help to find Daniel. It's pleasehelpfinddaniel.com. And Daniel's father, David Robinson, spoke with Wendy at CrimeCon.
Yeah, it was an honor to speak to him, although I wish we never had to, because I wish that he was never in this situation. Yeah. And it's actually the 1 year anniversary was not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, of Daniel's disappearance. And his father is still posting every day on all the socials. Right. If you know something, go to that website. If you know something, call this number. He's never given up hope. It's just remarkable, his composure that he's able to maintain in the face of such a really difficult tragedy, the loss of your son and not knowing where he is or what happened to him. Yeah. And what's even more fucked up is law enforcement isn't helping him. And I have a couple of reasons why I think that is.
Yeah.
Starts with the R and ends with the A-cism. Mm-hmm. And plus, another thing too is, you know, Buckeye is not a very big city.
No.
So it might be a municipality that has limited resources. But Daniel Robinson's father has like reached out to every agency he can for assistance. There's been a lot of really fucked up stuff that you'll hear has happened throughout his efforts. Like he had to pick up the car on his own. Like it wasn't, the police wouldn't pick it up and maintain it as evidence.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So he had to do it. Wow. He's having to fund the search efforts. People are out there in the desert searching every day, trying to help and volunteer. And hopefully this effort that he's putting forward will not be for naught. Daniel will be found, that his family will get answers. And it was just an honor to get to talk to him and share this interview with y'all. Also, I'm not a professional interviewer, so there's that.
Yeah. And with that, here's the interview. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, so let's talk about batteries, specifically social batteries.
Okay.
Now, during the winter, you know, like my battery was like really drained and I really just couldn't wait for it to be over. And now that winter is gone, I am feeling more energized socially. So
nice.
I can manage having friends over at my house and going out to do things. But I have to do a lot of mental preparing.
Yeah.
And then I also have to have time to recover from the people and the things.
Oh, yeah. I get that. And I know there are people out there who are energized and even thrive on being around people.
Yeah.
But I am definitely not one of those people.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. The thing is, you know, sometimes our batteries can get drained when we say yes to all the things and to all the people. And we forget to, you know, set boundaries and set aside time and space for ourselves.
Everyone's different.
Right.
And the good news is that therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I definitely had many sessions with my therapist about boundaries and positive coping skills. And therapy is, dare I say, empowering.
Yeah.
And it can help you become the bestest version of yourself and can help you determine when your battery is beyond depleted or needs a refresher.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/fruit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's better, HELP.com/fruit.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
24 hours ago, I found out the person that I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister Emma. Andrew Tonks' lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series...
And that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real-life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris, and this is my story, Conning the Con.
His disappearance to... some things about the case and also my efforts to find him.
So we have talked about your son's case on our show. We are a show that covers marginalized people of color in the true crime world who go missing and murdered, who don't normally get their stories told. Right. What we know about Daniel, and correct me if I'm wrong, is he is a geologist.
That's right.
He went out to the desert and wasn't heard from for a long time. And what the latest is, they found his clothes and they found his car, but not him. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, you know, that's of course. Yeah, he's out there. He's a geologist. He's on the job. He's on the job, doing his job out there. Almost 30 days later, the vehicle did show up. Everything's wet on his body, his clothing, socks, underwear. Uh-huh. Everything's on the ground in the pile.
Yes. Which police department is helping you?
Well, you know, I'm not getting much at all moving from the law enforcement. Of course, they have never supported any of the searches out there. You know, saying as an investigative stuff, I have everything. So they don't have anything to do an investigation with. Everything was turned over to me from day one. You know, after the first day, vehicles found. So right now, I'm still pushing them to try to see if they can do more in this case. Bring the FBI into this case, and also just to change the status of the case. Right now, he's still classified as a missing person. There's no criminality there, no suspicious circumstances to them. I just want to get those things changed.
I'm sorry, did you say they don't believe there's any suspicious circumstances?
No foul play at all, yes.
Wow, and the FBI is not involved yet?
They're not. I did request. Of course, I did request. Did put letters out to the Buckeye Police Department. They eventually... said yes, according to my letter is very striking. My son went missing in the crime scene. Yes, you know, my searches, we recovered human remains, even a human skull. So my son went missing in the crime area. So we did have them to say, hey, they're going to go ahead and get a case review with the FBI. Uh-huh. So they did have that case review without me, of course, even though I requested it, my attorney and I. But they came back and told me the FBI said that I was doing such a great job as a father on my own, they don't need to come in.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. That's what I was
told. They said that's outrageous. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, who is supposed to help American citizens,
yes,
told you that you got this?
I guess I'm doing a better job.
I'm out. I mean, it sounds like you are doing a lot of work, but it feels really unfair that you have to be going about this.
You know, it's disrespectful. Yeah. You know, I know good or well that's not right.
Right.
You know, I don't think the FBI would say that. I just think the department is telling me that. They think they can say things like that to me and just get away with it.
Now, what can people who are listening, who want to help, what can we do to help sort of get to the bottom of this and get your son found or close this case?
Well, one of the biggest things is support. You know what I'm saying? Prayer support is definitely good, but support.
You got it.
PleaseHelpFindDaniel.com. Everybody can go on there to sign a petition. The petition can help by putting that awareness. You know, the petition is your voice.
Yeah.
And so people sign that petition, it's not just a number, it's actually a voice. I have people standing behind me and say, hey, look, we're going to fight against the department to make them do their work, do their job. I need those petition signs. So on the website, you get the petition sign.
Okay.
You also can have ways you can help, like volunteering to search or volunteer to pass out flyers.
Oh, you can still volunteer to search the area.
Yes. Well, you know, I did close my searches down. Not close them down, but I put it on pause right now.
Okay.
Because of funding. And right now, I'm still trying to get funding. So I was going to go over this. You also have a GoFundMe on the website. You can go to the GoFundMe, donate.
Okay.
That helped me with my searches, helped me with the forensics that I had to get done on the vehicle and the clothing and everything.
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt. You had to do your own forensic investigation.
I sure do. And the only reason why is because, you know, that vehicle was found in his clothing on the ground and everything that they didn't do any forensic work on the scene.
Excuse me?
Oh, they didn't.
Stop it.
They literally gave me the vehicle the next day.
Oh, my
God.
They said,
hey, look, Mr. Robinson, here's your son's vehicle. If you don't get it out of here, we're going to tow it away.
What?
You had to pay storm fees.
No.
Oh, they literally told me that. Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
My blood is boiling. Are you serious?
I'm serious, yes.
How are you not, like, outraged, punching things? Like, you know, wanting to fight. This is, I mean, I know you're fighting in the right way, but how are you keeping it together, like, just not enraged?
Well, you know, I'm enraged a lot, you know what I'm saying? But I have to stay in a certain place for my son, for his sake. You know, you can do a lot, just to keep your composure there and keep yourself together. I can't afford to get on the emotional side of things. I had to stay focused, mentally sharp. The one thing we learned in the military, you stay mentally sharp, you keep your mission first. I keep my mission. My son is my mission, and I'm keeping him first, keeping that mission first, and I stay sharp and focused. But yes, that vehicle was turned over to me the next very day it was found. After it was found, and it, you know, like I said, it threatened me. Hey,
they
get it out of here.
They punished you for your son's car being a piece of evidence in his missing person's case.
They didn't see it as evidence. They just said, hey, this. They gave me the clothing and everything. Also, the clothing on the evidence bag was marked for safekeeping. That means that this happened to your son. He's going to come up somewhere, and here you go. Here's his things. He's going to come back and get them. So have a good day, Mr. Robinson, and going back to South Carolina where you come from, that's the way I take it. And so, you know, I'm not going to settle for that.
I'm glad you haven't, and I know that those of us who know about the case are eager to help as much as we can, as I said. So besides, you know, your military experience, what else keeps you going throughout
my
this ordeal?
My love for my son.
Yeah.
My love for my son.
Yeah.
He's my son. And
yeah.
He's my responsibility, and I have to take care of that. So I have to make sure that he's okay. I make sure he gets the justice that he deserves.
Yeah.
And respect. You know what I'm saying? One thing, I'm not going to let people just mischaracterize my son. He's a scientist. He's brilliant.
Tell me about your son. Tell me what should we know about him?
Dan is a family-oriented man.
Yeah.
No, young man.
Yeah.
He's my young man. And, you know, I'm really grateful for him. I'm grateful to have a son like him. You know what I'm saying? He's very outspoken. He always wanted to challenge himself and challenge others, his siblings mostly. And, you know what I'm saying? Everything he wanted to do in life, he achieved it. You know what I'm saying? He graduated with honors. He's a geologist, a scientist.
Yeah.
He has dreams, aspirations, and goals. He loves his family, like I said. And he made sure we know that.
Yeah, yes. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Does he have any siblings? Were there any siblings, or is he your only son?
He do. Okay. He is the youngest of his twin sister and his brother.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And as far as any leads, is there any promising leads to go off of?
We had one. I don't know if it's promising, but it's something we look into. I had to follow a lot of leads. I have leads from.
On your own.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
That's terrible.
And the leads I do have now is one that I'm working on now, and also hopefully the Buckeye Police Department is looking into that they say they are. I had one guy come on the comment section on Twitter describing that someone murdered my son and they buried him out there in the desert. We're looking into those type things. I hear things like that in the past. I even myself had death threats when I first started searching for my son.
Really?
But, oh, yes. But, you know, so we look into all of that stuff. And
can I ask you a question? And I understand if you don't want to answer, maybe respectability. But do you feel like your son's race has anything to do with the fact that he hasn't been found yet or this case hasn't been solved?
I do. The statistics shows that.
Yeah.
You know, as much as you try to go around it, you know, so I've tried a million times to try to look at it from a different light, but always slap me in the face. You know what I'm saying? The media, from the media coverage to the way this department's handled the case. It's a less importance that's there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they don't do it to other races also, but it's always done to us a lot more.
You're right.
One of the biggest things is my son is an advocate for Black Lives Matter. He was out there, matter of fact, doing an interview for the George Floyd protest. He's out there. did an interview and things like that. So sometimes a little part of that makes me wonder if it was a sense of retaliation that probably happened out there somewhere. We just don't know. So I'm looking into those things also.
Okay. I can't thank you enough for your time. Is there anything before we wrap this up that you want to say that you think is important that we should know? Anything?
Well, you know, we have the Daniel Robinson Foundation coming up here. We've been filed already. So look forward to seeing that. That's to help families not to go through the same thing I'm going through.
You know, so this is for everybody. Collective community assistance.
Right. Especially people of color. Black
Absolutely.
People
yes.
Mainly. They have the disparities. We're going to try to kill those disparities that's out there, you know, between what happens in black communities and also happen in other communities. I'll try to bridge that gap because, you know, it's a lot of families, like you said, just don't have don't get the word out there, don't get of their loved one, just don't have the resources. They don't know who to turn to. Law enforcement not going to help. So, you know, you got to have somebody to turn to, and hopefully the foundation will provide that for them.
Well, I just want to say thank you again for sitting down with me. I thank you for your time. Thank you for your service.
Thank you
for your commitment and your good work in the face of such an awful situation. So God bless you, sir. And just thank you. I can't
God
thank you enough.
One thing
I might have forgot on the recording to get your name. So would you mind stating your name for me one more time?
Yes, David Robinson.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
God bless.
God bless you too. Okay. Well, that was the interview of David Robinson, Daniel Robinson's father. Again, go to pleasehelpfinddaniel.com. And that's it for this episode. In the meantime, Beth, where can the people find us?
Our website is fruitloopspod.com, and we use Fruit Loops Pod for all of our social media. Join our discussion group on Facebook at Fruit Loops Pod Discussion. If you want to support the show, you can send us a donation on the Cash App. Just Google Fruit Loops Pod Cash App, or you can become a monthly patron through Patreon. This will help us pay for things like our website and pod hosting. There's no minimum and no commitment. Even a dollar would help. And as always, we have merch for sale on our website.
Very true. These are all facts, factual information. Now, this is a weekly podcast and new episodes drop every Thursday. So until next time, look alive, y'all. It's crazy out there.
Introduce you to Barry Clue, an authorised financial advisor from New Zealand and a very special kind of stain on humanity.
He was a very knowledgeable young guy.
He was a registered financial advisor.
Type of guy that was bending over backwards to help you.
Now, you could be forgiven for thinking that Barry sounds like a great guy, and you'd be right. Well, right up until the point when you're wrong.
It was all fictitious.
You stole from my son, who has a disability.
Chris never knew. He died believing that we're all taken care of.
A psychopath is somebody who lacks empathy, acts impulsively. I think there's a strong case that Barry might be all of those things, actually.
To find out how Barry Clue stole over $15 million from 81 victims, subscribe to Clueless, The Long Con. That's Clueless, spelt K-L-O-O-G-H-L-E-S-S.
So when the scammer uses the hypnotic method of building rapport, then they create dysfunctional, delusional reality.
That's how a scam begins. Convincing the mark that it makes perfect sense to hand over their money to a con artist. The Scams and Cons podcast tells you how scams are run. You'll hear how people are convinced to buy fake art, buy machines that print money, or steal your house.
I get a phone call from my wife, and she let me know that they had decided to move all our stuff out.
I can no longer do anything about it except go through an eviction.
And you'll hear it from the experts, people who run the cons.
So we go to your bank, you go in and get 6,000 cash, give us each 3,000, we give you this. Uh-huh. You go home and what you find out is cut up newspaper.
It's fun to know how the trick is done, and that's what Scams and Cons is all about. Listen at scamsandcons.com or wherever fine podcasts are found.